Dungeon.
Welcome back to Dungeon Court, everybody.
Bahumia.
What?
That's wrong.
Dude. That was fucked.
This is not a campaign episode. That was fucked.
That was so messed up.
God slid it damn in
right under the wire.
God damn it. I have been punked.
Oh my God.
I have been punked.
Sorry, Dude. That's my Bahumia.
Oh, what?
Oh, she did it again.
You can't just do it again.
She did it again.
What the fuck?
I got the do whole something. Thing on camera. I'm selling it to MTV in 2003.
What?
Yeah, that's right. I'm going back in
I'm
time and putting it on television.
I'm on punk. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You have to say it to the cameraman. My name is Brian Murphy and I got punked.
My name is Brian Murphy and I got punked, I guess. I don't know.
Hear ye, Crit is still in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices, Axford. Bahumia.
Oh, wow.
And Tanner presiding. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. He keeps getting fucking punked.
I keep getting punked.
Murph, say it again. Murph, say it
my
again.
My name is Brian Murphy. I get punked. All right. Are you happy?
Very. Bahumama Mia. That's a spicy
All right, that
pizza.
Was too far. Can we all agree that was too far?
I think it was
right.
Let's tying it back into the previous episode with the pizza thing.
Your name is Brian Murphy and you got punked.
Okay. Yeah.
His name is Brian Murphy and he got punked. This case comes from Nicholas. Nicholas writes, to the honorable judges and the bailiff who I believe I saw throw a lit match at someone in the bathroom, his name is Jake Hurwitz.
Whoa, that's not true. Dude, you should have done
not
that.
True. Wow. You did
Jake,
not see
you're
that.
That was a bit on punked, I think.
That's kind of was wasteful too.
Wait, it's wasteful of matches for sure.
Yeah.
It's really impressive that you can make the flame fly that far, though.
A match is hard to come by, am I right, ladies?
What is your energy? What is your deal right now?
A good match is hard to find. Are you with me, ladies?
Oh, it's a bumble joke.
Yeah.
Emily's in the van. She's running comms.
I don't know what this energy is.
Where am I?
Let's go back to D&D court.
Okay.
I present to you the case of the mastery bait. I play a Hexblade Warlock. Very nice. I play a Hexblade Warlock in a campaign run by a friend. The character's patron is a cursed sword that occasionally whispers to them.
Cool.
The sword once claimed that to unlock its true power, I had to plunge it through the heart of an innocent.
Whoa. That's really cool.
Despite the persistent whispers, I resisted, keeping my character's moral compass intact. But my DM didn't stop there. Outside the game, at the gym, at the bar, he'd casually ask why I hadn't taken the plunge yet, hinting that it might be crucial for an upcoming epic battle. Eventually, in the game, an opportunity popped up to stab an innocent with minimal guilt.
Minimal?
Huh.
Yeah.
We're just going to plow through that.
Maybe it was like Pope Innocent.
Yeah. It's just an old man that's like, I've Jeff lived innocent. A good life. Yeah.
I've never sinned, and I crave the conclusion of the story.
With the sword's whispers and my DM's not-so-subtle nudges, I finally caved.
Ooh.
My DM then gleefully revealed that the sword now had enough power to take control of my character occasionally and used this to make my warlock abandon the party during said big fight.
Oh.
Was it fair for my DM to bait me outside the game only to turn it into an in-game trap? If it makes a difference, I have been a Patreon subscriber for longer than my DM.
It does
that
make
does
a difference.
Make a
that actually
difference.
Does make
that
a huge difference.
Make
difference.
Yeah.
You have moved the court.
Interesting. They have paid us money.
Yeah.
You can buy off the court. That's for sure.
When you're saying at the gym and everything, that's not in game. That's like
I think that's the real.
That's in game.
That's in gains.
Wow.
Yeah,
everybody's.
I actually do
so
think.
Oh shit! And if you're at the bar, it's in grains because of what you're drinking.
Your name is Brian Murphy, and you've been.
My name is Brian Murphy. Name is Brian
Murphy. Yeah. Say it, dude.
I've been punked somehow by that. Anytime someone
say
says
it,
a joke, every time someone says a joke, I'm my name is Brian Murphy. I've been punked.
What's up? Fantasy Factory is up next. Thanks for listening.
Oh, good God.
Sorry.
What the fuck were we talking about?
Okay. Yeah. The DM, I've outside of the game, I actually do think that's a little messed up.
Yes,
to
I agree.
To be pushing them to do it outside of the game.
Yeah, because I think that as the DM, you do give these little like winks and nods, you know, to try to warn your players one way or the other to be like,
right,
this might be a really bad idea, or, oh, maybe you do want to do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're going to bring it up out of the game and stuff and make it seem like to the person that it is a necessary story beat or something.
Yeah. Like it would help you out. Like you'll do, you're actually going to do me a solid if you stab an innocent person with the sword.
It's just, it's so fucked up to like come up with a story with your friends and then try to like egg them on like this, as opposed to just like being so excited to talk about the story you're making with your friends.
Yeah.
Like being at the bar and being like, oh, it was so cool when you did that. Like, what are you going to do next? I want to know. Like, I'll work it into the story.
Yeah.
Like this, I can't get behind this sort of DM energy.
Yeah. I mean, Nicholas got punked, unfortunately.
Oh shit. Did you get punked?
Your name is Nicholas and you've been punked.
Yeah.
You've been punked, unfortunately. Punked.
Damn. There's so many punkings going on right now.
We have
some of them, many of them completely nonsensical.
Yeah. I think it's also strange too, because it's, you like were kind of pushed to make this decision that now you've somewhat lost control of your character.
So,
I think I would just be really direct with them and be like, hey, I'm really bummed about what happened. Like, is there a redemption that you're planning, or what's the path forward that we're both excited about?
I think if there wasn't hinting outside of the game, then this wouldn't be that bad of an idea, because this is what happens, right? With cursed swords in every piece of media, in every story, if you grab the cursed sword, it ends up bad in the end.
Yeah.
But if you're going to out of the game, being like, why don't you do it? You should just do it.
Away
right?
from the table,
you
know? That's not cool.
That's away from the table when you make it seem like it's a necessary part of the game, or that you're going to get some power up or whatever. Outside of the game, you're not talking within like the lore of the game. You're talking within the meta to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're like, you guys, you should just do it.
Would you would you say that when you bring the meta out of the game that you are metagaming? Perhaps. My name's Cole Tanner. I just got punked.
Holy shit, Caldwell punked himself.
It can happen.
I think we can all agree that this would have been fine had this all been in game. But if the person is, if the DM is constantly like, you know, saying, oh, maybe you should.
Yeah.
I would definitely consider doing that. You got a big upcoming fight here.
Yeah. Okay, so we should do a gym-related punishment.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh, they have to lift a cursed weight machine.
Oh.
Yeah,
a cursed
squat
bow
rack.
Flex.
A cursed bow flex? No matter what tiny weight you have on it, you can't lift it?
The bow won't flex.
Yeah, the bow just does not flex.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone at the gym is like, wow, there's like no weight on there.
Well,
and
the bow flex doesn't really work
because
the bow flex doesn't have any weight, really. It's like you're just pulling at strings, I think.
Right,
like
but we can just do a squat rack.
You can change the resistance, but
yeah.
Cursed squat rack, and it's going to be very obvious it's cursed. It's got like a big blinking eye just like pulsating on one side.
Yeah. And it's going to whisper in their ears too.
Yeah. God, it'd be so cool to go to a cursed gym, just like a gym that's kind of decked out like a dungeon or something like that.
Yeah.
And all the weights are cursed, and like, I don't know, maybe like the trainers are wearing knight's armor.
Sure.
That would be really cumbersome, but
yeah, and they're just like, great set, my lord, shit like that.
Whoa,
we could start that gym, because I feel like the world is full of like the equinox of it all, you know?
Everyone wants a theme for a gym.
We need more stone and rope and cursed eyes.
Stone's
and
endurance would be a great name for the gym.
So maybe what about we sentence this DM to go gather the capital for our cursed gym.
For the cursed gym.
Cursed gym.
Yeah.
And we should, I feel like I don't want to give up too much equity for the guy that just gathers the capital. Like, that's not
true.
Yeah,
true,
like,
true.
Like, I wouldn't even want to give up a single point of equity, frankly.
I think we're going to want them to like really front most of it. And we'll just be like the idea guys, because I've got like a lot of thoughts. Most gyms don't have a story behind them. And I think that's where we differ.
Right.
That that's lore. Really fun. Yeah. You like learn, there's like lore about every spirit that's trapped inside every cursed gym.
And every piece of equipment is so dusty. you don't wipe sweat, you wipe dust off when you're done.
And we're going to need to hire a lot of people to be like Dark Souls NPCs that are just like watching you lift.
That are just, just
there's a lot of capital that we need up front. Nicholas's DM will be fronting it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There'll be profit sharing if the gym reaches profitability success, but it's it's a long roadway to get there.
It's a long roadway to get there because there's going to be a lot of sort of almost actors hired to wander around this gym and provide ambiance.
Don't forget about the lawsuits, because this equipment is cursed.
It's
unsafe.
Yeah.
Should we go ahead and just make it like Dark Souls themed and call it Dark Swoles?
Whoa!
Dark Swoles is good.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. good. And of course, Dark we'll be sued by the company that makes
right,
Dark Souls.
Right, yeah.
The
which is yet fees. Another legal fee that we're going to have. Yet another thing that this DM will have to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm actually abandoning this project. This DM just has to do this.
Well, okay.
I'm yeah. Just, I'm out. We want to work out here.
Yeah, I'll work out there for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Sounds great.
Yeah.
We get a free lifetime membership. It was our goddamn idea.
Yeah. Yeah, Nicholas's DM better not fucking get any ideas. Whose idea this was?
So we're on your side. If you were egged on outside of the game and it seemed like it was going to help the story and you're just trying to go with it, then I think you've been wronged.
Yeah, you've just been wronged. Cool. And it's you also get free lifetime membership to Dark Swoles.
Yeah, come on in.
We'll see you there.
Yeah, see you there. Mm-hmm.
See you, Dark Swoles. So ordered, so swoldered. Our next case comes from Shan. Shan writes, "Hello, Brat Summer Justices and demure and mindful Bailiff Jake."
Nodding my head. I know what all these things are.
Yeah, it's on TikTok, like us. "I bring to you the case of the stone lamp. This happened in my first ever D&D game, but still weighs on my mind heavily. The party consisted of my cleric, first-time player, our rogue, first-time player, our artificer, experienced player, and our first-time DM. We needed an item from a royal treasury, and instead of one, asking for it, or two, using our rogue's abilities to steal it, the artificer, this is the experienced player for everybody keeping score, suggested we Trojan horse it. He suggested that I use meld to stone, and then he would cast stone shape to make me into a fancy lamp for us to gift to the royals."
Okay. I don't hate the hustle.
Yeah.
"The lamp would then be put in the treasury and I could steal our item. I argued that you can't backdoor your way into true polymorph, and he said raw that there's no reason it shouldn't work. We argued for a real life hour until the session ended. He relented the beginning of the next session and said we could just sneak in. During the initial argument, the DM and the rogue said nothing, literally nothing, not a peep. Tell me, justices, should I have just let my cleric be a lamp, or was I right to defend the sanctity of a ninth level spell?"
Okay, let's pull up stone shape and meld into stone. But I will say, I'm kind of side-eyeing the DM here for not stopping an hour-long argument.
The DM is being a quiet cousin.
Wow, throwback.
I love when they have to clarify how many real-world hours it was.
Yeah.
Okay, read a stone shape and meld into stone.
I've got stone shape right here.
All right, Caldwell, read stone shape and I'll read meld into stone.
There we go. You touch a stone object of medium size or smaller, or a section of stone no more than 5 feet in any dimension, and form it into any shape that suits your purpose.
Great.
So, for example, you could shape a large rock into a weapon or
a lamp. Yeah.
So I think we can agree that it sounds like you could, like, hypothetically, the conceit of making a piece of stone look like a lamp works.
Certainly, right? Because if it can become a weapon, then you could make it something less useful, a lamp.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that the question is now meld into stone. Could someone then enter that lamp?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So meld into stone.
Sexually
you
or
step
otherwise.
Step into a stone object or surface large enough to fully contain your body. Meld
That's the problem. Meld large enough to fully contain your
and
body.
And all your equipment you carry.
A floor lamp.
With the stone for the duration. Using your movement, you step into the stone. At a point you can touch, nothing of your presence remains visible or otherwise detectable. Okay. So you can go into stone. It does say you touch a stone object of medium size or smaller. So if you're a medium-sized creature.
Yeah, if you're a medium-sized creature, I will call out that it would make a weird-shaped lamp, even if it was a floor lamp, to be able to contain a whole person.
I was picturing like a Aladdin-style lamp, like a really big one.
Okay, yeah.
Like a large tureen.
I was imagining a table lamp.
I was definitely imagining a table lamp, but now with the given knowledge, it's like, well, now this is a pretty obvious thing to just, you're hoping to put it in their treasury.
Yeah.
You're hoping to gift it to them and put it in their treasury. They might see this and be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. I mean, anytime you're arguing for more than an hour over a plan, something's gone awry.
Yeah.
I think you could do a version of this if it was like a statue or something like
that. Yeah. I think so too.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm looking at it and I'm like, this plan could potentially work.
Mm-hmm. A statue seems arguably better than a lamp.
Statue's way better than a lamp.
You could gift somebody a statue.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But a statue, like if you are like a lord or a king and you're accepting statues, you're definitely getting a guy to like check to make sure there's no one like inside of that statue. You've definitely got like a statue drilling guy.
There wouldn't be anyone inside it, right?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
If you drill through the statue while you're in stone shape, does that hurt you? I don't know.
Whoa, good question. What happens if the stone shatters?
I think you're in there. I think you would get hurt.
If the statue checker.
Oh wait, minor physical damage to the stone doesn't harm you, but its partial destruction or a change to its shape expels you and deals 66 bludgeoning damage.
Okay, so how long does stone shape last for?
Stone shape lasts for, the duration is instantaneous. There's nothing about how long.
Okay, so that means that you just fully change it. And then
meld into stone is 8 hours, so you could get taken into a treasure. So
I think this could work. Yeah. Ultimately, though, I think that the fact that there was an hour-long debate at the table, like right. you weren't down for it.
But I think the player the submitter has said that you can't backdoor your way into a true polymorph. But I do think using these spells for this specific purpose, you kind of can.
Yeah,
I mean it's not real. I mean a true polymorph means you could turn an enemy into kind of anything.
Yeah.
And this isn't a true polymorph because this is within the parameters of having a giant stone as big as a person and having time for somebody to hide inside of that stone who is your friend.
There was a then limit. You could do it. There was a limit to the size, right? Did it
5 feet in any dimension.
Five
so if you're
feet
a halfling, that's you're fine.
Yeah, that's a medium-sized creature.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
More than 5 feet in any dimension, like if you crouch down, like you could make this work, I think.
Yeah.
Because if you think of like a battle map, like 5 feet is typically what the grid would be. Medium creatures would take up 5 feet on the battle map. I think the spirit of this could have worked as goofy as it is. I think the lamp
idea was a bit of a stretch.
Is maybe a bit of a stretch, but the core question here is can you meld into stone to hide inside a rock that then gets brought somewhere? I think the answer is yes.
Yeah,
right?
I think so too. I do think so.
Yeah, and also you're burning two spells. Like, it's like a fourth level spell, and what level is meld into stone?
Third level, yeah.
Okay, so that's like seventh level combined, I guess.
I do think that there are like spells that if you combine them at lower levels, they can become more like a higher level spell. Yeah. So that's not unheard of.
The flavor of it being a lamp, I do think if you guys did this on the campaign, I think I would look at this raw and you guys would say that it was a lamp, and I would say that it didn't look like a very good lamp. I would say that it looked like there was a giant lump in it and it was a big rock, but you know.
But if it's a lamp, couldn't you say that you're like filling the interior of the lamp with like your stone shape?
Yes, but I do think the big question here is the argument shouldn't have been can you backdoor your way into a true polymorph? The question should have been why does it have to be a lamp?
Right.
Can it be anything else?
Well, I guess, I mean like,
could it be a statue?
Yeah.
Maybe y'all aren't picturing it the way I'm picturing. I'm picturing like a beautiful, like marble carved, polished lamp. And you're filling that bad boy with oil and you're putting it in your foyer, perhaps in your solar. That's going to look really nice.
I don't think I've seen fancy enough lamps. It's really hard for me to hear the word lamp.
I have a really narrow minded view on lamps. I just don't know enough.
Yeah.
You guys, you're so lantern pilled.
Yeah.
You need more lamp exposure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you could have argued against the lamp aspect, or maybe not, according to Caldwell. Maybe I'm wrong here. But I do think according to these spells, it does say
that you could kind
the
of.
Stone object is medium sized. Your character would most likely in most cases be medium sized. Or did it say what size the person was?
No, it doesn't say anything about the size.
Okay.
Yeah.
That could be a clever omission though. They might be hiding some details. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you were super tall, then that.
Yeah, if you were large, some of the species are large, but I think in most cases, most player characters are medium. So I think there's nothing in the wording of this. There's nothing in the rule book that says
you can't be a lamp.
Ain't nothing in the rule book says you can't be a lamp.
Yeah.
Go be a lamp.
Wow.
Yeah. Go be a lamp.
I don't think you should have argued for an hour, but it seems like you might be in the wrong.
Right. But I think ultimately it's so like, why did
the DM not just pull up the two spells and make a ruling?
It was the first time DM, but I guess still.
But how?
I would have kind of been like, I'll allow it. I like it.
I've skimmed the rule book as a maybe someday DM, and I think even my very, very basic understanding of the game is to not let two players argue uninterrupted for an hour.
It's like, that's the length of like a professional soccer match.
I know.
Well, yeah. No, I guess they're what, 45 minutes each for 90. The half?
Yeah, I think that.
You're not talking about stoppage time.
All right, so. Let's say, so the DM, first time DM, so we'll give them a pass. Yeah. But I think the person who submitted this, I think is on the wrong side here.
Yeah. Wow. Though I do think that it was unfair to have it be argued.
It's a silly plan.
I think that their plan would have worked, but the second that the table wasn't into it, they should have been okay.
Right. Everyone could have just dropped it. Yeah.
Yeah, you could have just taken a different tack instead of being like, you can't, this spell is impossible. You could just be like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. You can always be just like, I don't want to hide in a rock for eight hours.
I don't want my guy to be in a rock. Let's think of something else.
All right. There also is it is a stretch to think that the nobles will just be like, oh, thanks for this present. We're going to put it immediately in our treasury.
Yeah.
So I think that you're going to have to tend the bonfire at Darkswool's. We are going to have an actual bonfire
The bonfire of souls.
Yeah.
The bonfire of the vanities.
Exactly. There's just going to be an open, just raging flame in the middle of this gym.
Whoa, maybe making some pizza
Darkswool's would be so hard. It'd be every time you worked out and failed a set, you would lose all of your gains that you got. Mm-hmm. Unless you saved at the bonfire.
You go back to before you ever worked out.
Oh, God.
Wow.
But I guess if you could make your way back to the set, this is going to need to be like a sprawling dungeon where you're going to have to go deeper and deeper to get to the squat rack.
And I think that everything is leaking everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. It's leaking.
There's just puddles.
Pus, blood, all sorts of different liquids. Yeah.
This is
going to be a big commercial real estate investment for Nicholas's DM, actually, because we need miles and miles of dungeon.
Yeah. Ideally, it's like an underground labyrinth in which you never see another person except for the actors who are paid. Right.
You're gonna have to buy real estate in Cape Canaveral. It's gonna have subterranean rockets. Yeah,
there's gonna need to be existing catacombs that we can take over. Mm-hmm. All right.
But that's on you, not us. So ordered. Smooth Turtle writes, to the justices most high and the bailiff who is not the most low. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Kind of a cop-out, but okay.
Yeah, for sure. I give you the case of the mysterious backstory. I began DMing a campaign with my wife and three other friends, all of us first timers except for one of the players.
Everyone's always bragging about having wives and friends.
You think you're better than me?
Cool it, okay? I've only got one of those things.
While I was getting everyone ready and prepping the story, I gave everyone question prompts to aid in making their backstory.
Nice.
When it came time to collect on them, everyone separately gave me their fun version of their character origin, except for the experienced player. Mm. I asked them why, and they said because they didn't want to give it to me. They wanted it to be a surprise and a mystery.
To you, the DM.
It's not a birthday party, friend.
Murph is groaning. I explained, that's fine. I won't tell the other players, but unless I know, I can't incorporate them into the story well. They still refused. I thought I would be clever and make the big bad of the first session make vague statements alluding to the fact that they maybe know the experienced player's character, thinking it would be a way to force the character into divulging some of their backstory through improv.
Ah.
Wrong. The party immediately assumed that they were a traitor and turned on the player.
This is, how did everything go so wrong so fast?
I'm happy to say that no one was killed. And since then, through some in-game trust exercises, the party now trusts this player. But was I in the wrong putting this player on the spot? Or should they have complied with what their DM was requesting?
They should have just complied.
Yeah. I hate it when DMs have to be camp counselors and have to settle a dispute between two campers who are fighting.
Yeah.
This is wild though for everyone involved, because it's first person that the story has no heroes, right? Mm-hmm. Because the first person that's wrong, obviously, is the player. Player's being completely unreasonable. The DM decides what's canon and not canon, and you have to work together. So if you're not willing to do that, you kind of can't play the game.
Right. Major red flag.
And then I would say the players are next on my shit list, which is to instantly turn, because someone made vague references to possibly knowing the other person, which they could have known them because they were rivals. They could have known them before they broke bad. They could have known them because they fought before. They turned on this player and tried to kill them. That's wild too. And then I guess
you're
in a little You're in on the shit list a little bit because I do think that as soon as they started attacking, you could have like called a timeout and been like, that's my bad. You tried to work with a bad situation. And
I think it was a well-intentioned miscalculation that you could trick this player who just wants to keep their story to their self into collaboration.
Yeah, this is a really tough person to collaborate with because at any point you're just like, when are you going to just drop some wild backstory where you have to say, no, that doesn't exist in the world.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Like, oh my God, what if this is just a future thing that they were like, my backstory, I come from the future.
It's time for me to finally drop my backstory.
A place you've never heard of called Michigan.
And I know everything about the end of this campaign.
And I'm here. I'm here to tell you about cars.
I want to tell you about the Great Lakes.
Yeah. Well, they're lakes in my time.
Yeah, I mean, 99 times out of 100, if somebody comes up with an idea for a backstory, you'll figure out a way to incorporate into your world. But we already don't trust this player because this player refuses to divulge anything, which is a ridiculous thing to do. So we have to assume they're that player and is going to have, they're going to say that they're a god or something. They're going to be like,
or a pizza monk.
Or a pizza monk.
Or a pizza monk. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's entertain the idea that this is actually a really fun thing to do and everyone wanted to do it.
Okay.
Like, could
Are
there
we being
be,
punked? Are we being
could,
punked?
Could there be a version
We're being monked.
Where everyone does this as, is there a playable version where the DM doesn't know anyone's backstory?
Yes, but that needs to be agreed upon.
Mm-hmm.
Does that even work?
It could. Yeah.
Where the DM doesn't know anyone's backstory? And
DM
it all
doesn't
comes
know
out through...
anyone's backstory.
Yeah.
I guess as long as they have a handle on the world.
Sure. Right. They would have to have information to make the backstory.
Everyone goes in and you trust everyone at the table and it's collaborative in a way that's not world breaking, then it's fine.
Right. What do you guys think is extra fun about that?
About not knowing anything?
About, if you, the DM, didn't know the player's backstory, what about that
I think
adds
this,
fun for you?
This player thinks that they're so rad that they're going to blow the DM's mind.
Right, yeah.
That's what they think.
Yeah.
That's what they think.
Yeah, I can see a situation where it's just like, oh, we're all going to collaborate and come up with backstories together. It's going to be, it's what the DM wanted, but this player in their head is just like, oh, God sent me back in time so that I can save everyone.
Yeah.
Also, this is the lone experienced player. So like to have a first time DM and be like, just so you know, so this is how it never works, but we're going to do it this way this time.
It does seem like
it's never ever like this.
That's why I absolutely don't trust this player because again, this can work if everyone was on board and you trusted everyone that they would all stay within the, you know, realm of the world or whatever. Like if you say bandits destroyed my village or something, or like I was like kidnapped by this group or something, it's all feasible. Yeah, that all works. Yeah. But this player, since they refused to share literally anything, I assume it's something absurd. I assume they're a god. That's
it's a main character thing.
I'm the child of a god.
Or I'm secretly
I'm
the
bastard
king.
Of a god.
I'm secretly the prince. Whatever. That stuff.
I'm
that
from
stuff
the
needs,
future. I'm the king of Michigan.
That stuff needs cooperation. If you're the king of Michigan,
my steeds are all cars.
Yeah,
I drive a chariot pulled by cars.
Yeah, I think you.
That's so funny. A chariot pulled by cars.
Mad Max,
you're not
Michigan.
In a car.
If you have a self-contained backstory, then it's kind of fine to leave out details as long as like everybody agrees to it or whatever. It's fine to leave out details because it doesn't affect the world if like your mom was mean to you or something like that, or if something you had a fight with some bandits or something like that. These low-level things that don't really affect the world, that would be okay to kind of keep to yourself or improvise while you're all playing together.
Right.
But when it comes to something like somebody being a secret prince or some big world thing or something like that, at that point you do need DM buy-in because that affects the world. If you're a disenfranchised prince or something, we need to know who your parents are.
Yeah.
The
Prince of Detroit.
The Prince of Detroit.
Yeah, I think I ultimately could just never be bought in on this unless it was just a totally silly campaign because I would feel tongue-tied about doing anything around this player.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, I don't know what, I don't want to fucking do the wrong thing.
I wouldn't even try to engage them, I think. I would just be like, cool, okay, you don't have a story. I'm going to talk to everybody else.
Like, I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And my name is Henrius Ford. That name wouldn't mean anything to you. But where I'm from, it's important.
Hides his Red Wings jersey.
Oh, lakes. That really brings me back. Anytime I see a body of water.
All right, yeah.
I remember driving my car through the lake on a sunny day.
Are you sure, Henrius?
I'm secretly the sixth Great Lake.
I am the son of the sixth Great Lake.
Secret Lake.
All right, so I do think this is a little bit of a red flag. I do think as the DM, I might have just been like, I don't know if I want to play with you, but I don't know. If I was desperate for D&D and somebody just didn't want to send me a backstory, I might just be like, okay, what the fuck ever. Just,
yeah.
You know. The other option is like, maybe you just didn't write one and you're...
And you just want to improvise it when you're there. Right. You can just say that.
Yeah,
yeah, you should just say that.
You should just say that and you'll figure it out.
There's also a 1% chance that it rules, that it's a really good backstory. Wow.
like what we've been saying here.
Exactly everything we've been saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the DM from the first case. Just right. Like a two-minute song.
Yeah.
Brings right. Everyone to tears.
So I think we are gonna roll against this player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is Wow. That's a really annoying player.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's their job? Oh, maybe they have to breed the giant plague rats that are going to be like scurrying around in the Dark Souls.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah,
we'll be like the vet to them.
I don't know what that really has to do with.
Plague rat vet.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Well, yeah, because we want them sick, but not too sick. Yeah.
Right, okay.
We need them contagious, okay. But not like.
But we don't want the rats to
die.
Yeah.
We want people to be going through and be like, oh, I'm sick of all these gym rats.
And that'll give them a robust backstory because they weirdly have to make this middle ground between death and healthy rats.
Yeah, the church. Of the squealing rodent.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be expensive to be replacing the rats all the time. Yeah. And we've got a lot of legal fees.
But also, we can't afford to replace the rats because Nicholas's DM is funding the rat replacement. But we don't want to do that. We don't want to get into that.
Too true.
Okay. Your boy Troy writes, to the beautiful judges and the not so bad bailiff Cameron. Close.
Wow, we all got a compliment in there.
I am playing a College of Swords bard in a Spelljammer campaign. Yeah. My team and I were in a battle arena fighting Braxat, a huge rhino monster. During the battle, I used hypnotic pattern to try to incapacitate the beast. My DM rolled the saving throw and declared that he failed the save. So, thinking the monster was incapacitated, the barbarian went out of his rage to prepare a coordinated attack with the rest of the team.
Yeah.
However, when it came to the big baddie's turn, he moved and attacked the unraged barbarian. I reminded my DM the creature was under a hypnotic pattern. He then said that the creature was immune to being charmed, so the hypnotic pattern I had cast did nothing. I argued that I would have seen that the spell didn't work, but he said the spell does not say that it tells you when the spell is ineffective. We ended up barely surviving the battle and moving on to the next match. So I asked the court, was I right to be upset having no clue if the spell had an effect on a creature right in front of me, or would the spell or monster give no indication if it worked? I humbly await to hear your wisdom.
Oh, it actually does say in the spell, if you feel like it, you can pretend like it worked.
Oh, damn.
If the DM feels like it, they can just pretend like it works.
It's a punking spell.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
This is like a Magic the Gathering card, but it has like, instead of Cypher, it has punked.
Yeah.
Yeah, the character art has a sideways Von Dutch hat.
This is a new subclass they're introducing for Rogue as a way of the punker.
Yeah. Yeah, this is weird.
Yeah. We think the innocent read is...
The DM fucked up. And
the DM fucked up and then was like, oh, I just realized that, but they should be...
That seems like it.
They should be... Like, they should I just realized that. I'm going to let you guys
they
get
should
a
let
turn.
The barbarian retake their turn at least.
Yeah.
Like, you could, you still already wasted the spell, right? So you waste the spell, they cast on it. You see that they're immune to being charmed.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Cool,
I think that,
so the barbarian wouldn't do it.
And then the barbarian doesn't go out of rage because the barbarian is working on the knowledge that they think this thing is charmed.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you were wrong.
Also, announcing that it failed when it's immune to it is lying in a way that I guess technically not lying, but
then you wouldn't have to make the saving throw. It's so performative to be like, I'm going to make the save.
Yeah, if you wanted to hide it, you could be like, you can't tell if it's had an effect or not. You see the rhino just kind of closes his eyes and seems like he's still in, you know, like don't say if it fails or saves if you don't want to give it
but
up.
But if you have an immunity, do you? Why would you even roll a save?
It doesn't, I don't know. It's strange. Yeah. And it's also really strange to say that it fails.
I think it's probable that they just messed up in the moment.
Yeah.
So I think that like you weren't really like, I don't think that this was the worst offense.
But it was the lie that covered, it was like a mistake and then covered by like an overconfident lie where like they're trying to make you feel stupid.
It's really strange. It's also, it would maybe make sense if you were playing against like, okay, you're the bad guy you're fighting is an arch wizard who's super calculating or it's a sorcerer. And they have really high charisma and they deceive people. So they pretend that they failed or something like that.
But they'd have to be doing deception checks.
Right, but you'd have to do deception and everything. And also, I think the egregious part of this is that the DM is playing tricks in the metagame, right?
Yeah.
The DM is rolling and does not say it looks like they're under your
nefarious?
Spell. Well, it's not. Wow. It's not. I mean, it's... The thing that's wrong about this is not like lying to your players, because you're allowed to lie to your players as characters. I lie to you guys all the time.
No.
Everything I say to you guys is a lie.
Bahumi is not real.
Nothing is.
Bahumi is not real.
Nothing has happened. Say your name. Say your name, and that you got pumped.
My name is Emily Axford, and I got pumped by my husband.
Bahumi, Calliope's not real. She hasn't existed this whole time. Everything was a dream.
You said that.
Bahumi was just a dream.
You said there were travel journals. You said there were travel journals.
Nope, there aren't. It's not. All of it's not real.
Oh,
I can't believe
this. Bev Senior from Campaign One's actually the only real character. He dreamed the whole
thing. What?
Oh, yeah.
What?
This is all Bev Senior's dream. Does he even have a kid and
no,
a wife?
He doesn't.
Martha Togo doesn't exist.
She doesn't exist.
But what the fuck?
Pretty good.
Okay,
right?
Okay, but like,
pretty good.
But halflings
stuff,
are real. I'm confused by the
no, paladins weren't real. No, okay. he lives
in Detroit.
He lives in Detroit. Single. He's single and he lives in Detroit.
Yeah. Is he the sixth Great Lake?
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Damn. No,
literally, what was I talking about before this? What the fuck was I talking
this
about?
This DM is snacking on meta.
So I was saying that lying in the meta is cheating.
Yeah.
If you say that somebody failed and they didn't fail, or if you're alluding
to the fact
that they're
unaffected.
So it would
be really fun to do that at the table to the DM.
To lie to and say that you failed?
I guess I wouldn't go that far.
That would be cheating.
I was trying to think if I would do that to my DM, and actually it doesn't feel fun to do.
Saying it looks like they're charmed, or you see their pupils get really wide and they look at you like you're a friend.
Yeah.
That you could
still
possibly
need a deception check.
You would still need a deception check, but that you could possibly be sneaky with. You can have like a conniving villain that can get out of that. But as soon as you're like rolling in front of people and being like, they failed or whatever, I don't know, it'd be like me saying, oh, they rolled a 5, and then two turns later being like, they actually hit you, Jake, for 24 damage.
Yeah. That's right. When I said they rolled a 5, they actually rolled a nat 20. And because they rolled
they
a nat 20,
you.
I gave them 12 hit points back. And I gave them advantage on their next roll. And you didn't fucking know that, you fucking idiot.
Yeah. You just got punked. Say your name.
You just got punked. Say
my name is Jake Hurwitz, and I just got punked by Emily Axford's husband.
What? My name is Emily Axford's husband. I just got punked.
My name is Emily Axford. My husband got punked.
Okay.
This is great. I'm filming the whole thing.
Okay, so we have to punish this DM, obviously.
Yes.
Can I actually ask a question?
Sure.
So I never watched Punk. Did they do this at the camera every time
they
that
did
they
say
punk
their
someone?
Name that
that was how they would close a segment. Because
if you don't say that, funny. Then you can be perpetually punked. That's like that closes the book on the punk.
Right. That's how you wish Ashton
away. That's how you exit the punk.
Exactly.
Okay, okay.
That is the banishing spell.
He won't stop punking you until you're
relentless.
Unless you admit it.
Some of the episodes are only 2 minutes long.
Yeah.
Some of these celebrities, as soon as they saw something was awry, they yell their name and that they get punked.
Yeah.
And Ashton Kutcher, he disappears.
Yeah,
he has to retreat.
He's a fae spirit.
It's like salt to a slug.
Yeah, he leaves.
Yeah, Hillary Duff is still being punked.
Yeah.
She loves it.
She never said it.
Thank you for that context. Yeah. I just had to ask.
Yeah.
Okay, so should we maybe put this DM in some sort of like door in front of the dungeon, and like they're telling lies the whole time, and then there's another DM that's telling truths, that sort of thing.
Oh, that's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mean in Dark Souls?
In Dark Souls, right.
Yeah, yeah. That's fun.
Right.
Let's say one of us is lying in the metagame, and one of us is playing a character who's lying.
Yeah.
And then you have to figure out
which one of us is a dirty little rat snacking on meta cheddar.
No, not that dirty little rat.
Mm. And that's to get into the free weight room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, that's great because it's a good source of crowd control because all these people have memberships, but we don't let everyone come in.
They want to get to the the free weights. Mm. Yeah.
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 Okay. Great. So ordered.
And the free weights are not free. They charge a blood tax.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing like the vial of protein powder that you have, and that's how you like that's how you stick it out when you're about to die on a squat rack.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
That's cool.
And all of the dumbbells are like covered in flesh and they have little mouths and they bite you.
And they scream every time
they
lift.
They scream when you lift.
Actually, that'd probably be like feel really that strong.
Yeah, you're basically, you're pushing them away from your ears. That's how you're working out.
Foul builder, how do you find yourself here?
Sir, where's the coconut water?
So ordered. This one comes from Emily R.
Hi, Emily. Emily. Hi, Emily.
Emily is unite.
Hi, Emily. Hi. Okay, go on.
Which one do I shoot?
Why either?
Tell me.
To the venerable justices and Bailiff Lake, or was that his dog? Shout out to C2.
Oh, right on.
I bring to you the case of the Ring of the Grammarian. We've seen one of these before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm.
May it please the court and not peeve Murph too badly.
Yeah.
In my first long-term campaign, my DM gave our party the Ring of the Grammarian, an item that lets you change one letter in a spell title. We used it several times.
So fun.
My favorite being turning Chromatic Orb into Chromatic Orc and summoning a Lightning Orc to aid us in battle.
That's cool.
Good shit.
Later in the adventure, we encountered a village of children who turned out to all be werewolves because of a curse. One of the children was dying, and my paladin/sorcerer proposed what I still think was a genius solution, using the ring to transition cure wounds into cure hounds.
Whoa!
To remove the lycanthropy from the child.
Mm-hmm.
My DM ruled that this wouldn't work to cure the child. He also said we couldn't do actual brain surgery, but that's another story. So we had to find another solution. We eventually did save the town and ended up recruiting several of the kids to be a sailing crew. So ultimately it ended well. I ask you justices, should my swift and snappy wordplay have been rewarded? The results of the ring are of course up to the DM. So I acquiesce, but I'm still a little salty that I couldn't cure that child's hound-based ailment with my wit. I humbly await your ruling.
My first thought was like, that's great, because it is good wordplay, but then it is kind of like cure hound. That's not making them not a hound anymore.
It's not an absolute, I feel it's like not an absolute dog. Lock.
Right.
It's not like, haha, I fooled you, DM.
Yeah.
Something that's kind of like a wolf.
It's fun and they could have let you get away with it, but I also think that it is a little bit of a stretch.
It's also your DM clearly had an adventure in mind and is not going to let this ring be a catch-all that lets you get out of literally every single situation.
Yeah.
I would say if they put a child character in front of you and then we're just like, you actually can't help them. They die because your grammar thing doesn't work. then I would rule with you and I'd be like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
But since this was just sort of the call to adventure and sort of the quest hook and then you were able to help the kid, I do think that this DM passes the smell test for
me. I think
me.
So too. Mm-hmm.
I think you can wash off some of that salt. I think it's all right. Yeah. It's good wordplay.
Or, put it on the glass of a margarita and drink your losses. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Enjoy your salt.
Or make a nice salt scrub and do wash it off, but get a little exfoliation going.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like the DM. It doesn't seem like the DM was out to get you or anything like that.
Yeah, I think it was good wordplay, but thinking on it, it's like, it is a bit of a...
I will also say it's good wordplay, but not like excellent wordplay.
Murph,
it's not incredible.
It's excellent.
It's not, this was
it's
not a lock.
Excellent, Emily.
This should not have been like,
top notch.
This should not have been like, I came up with
Emily's.
Pure hound.
Yeah, he clearly has an Emily bias. That's the problem.
What
here.
Do you have against Emily Raxford?
I'm saying I think Emily did a very good job here, but I don't know that it... that well, your hound gets you out of
your
everything.
Bite your tongue.
Ow.
That's because the answer clearly would have been to make moonbeam into moonbeam, which turns the moon into a bean, and then it can't affect the world anymore. Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry. That was the correct answer, Emily.
That's, so
that's actually really good.
That's
is it?
Good one.
Murph, can we have one of these or
I
not?
Think this ring is so dangerous because it just it demands that you just become a lawyer with your players, or you're just arguing why they can't have fun, and it's because otherwise you won't have a campaign because this ring will solve every problem.
Yeah.
You could maybe have like a consolation that like the moon affects them less, or like they can temporarily transform back into kids with cure hounds.
Or that they had a dog that had Giardia and now the dog is fine.
And now the dog is good and it brains their spirit.
Oh yeah. You get rid of the dog's heartworms.
I do think that the DM could have been like, oh, you see that the child looks like they're feeling a little bit better.
Yeah.
Like they're not in pain or something like
they're
that.
Not in pain, but they are still a hound.
Doesn't have to cure the quest hook.
They're feeling better, but they're still a werewolf because they were never a hound.
Right. They're still absolutely a werewolf.
And hound implies domestication, so that's different than wolf.
Like, also, cure wounds wouldn't, if it was like cure wounds specifically for hounds, which aren't wolves, I don't think.
Yeah.
But even if it was cure wolves, wouldn't that just be like a better heal for a wolf? Wouldn't that not be like a greater restoration or something? I don't know. I think this doesn't really work for
me. Your DM actually maybe did you a favor by just saying it didn't work instead of drilling down on it for too long. Because they allowed you to stay salty instead of like kind of realizing it's not as good as you thought. But again, I think it's pretty good.
They celebrated your excellent pun.
It's pretty good. Excellent. All right, fine. I made an excellent pun. My name is Brian Murray.
You've been punked.
And that was an excellent punking. And that was an excellent. I got punked.
You got punned.
but are we? I think we're ruling against this player, right?
I think we are.
Yeah. So I think that now every time the ring doesn't work for you, you have to say your own name. You have to say, "I'm Emily R. and I just got
puns."
Or we could change it that your cure wounds and your spell book got like messed up, and now you can only cure hounds.
Dogs, yeah.
Right. You have to become a vet.
You have to become another vet. We're sentencing two people
perfect,
to become vets.
Oh, because there's a lot of mangy dogs in Dark Souls, too.
Yeah.
All right, cool. We're making the world a better place. And with that, can we step into church, everybody?
Right. Mm-hmm. Please.
We've got a confession from one Zweezel. Zweezel writes.
Zweezel.
It's a great name. Is that a Pokemon?
I don't know. I don't know.
Keep talking. I'm going to look
who
it up.
Who are you asking, Caldwell?
Myself?
Dear clergy of the Church of Critianity. Very nice.
Okay.
I like it.
Cure hounds level.
Bweezel is the Pokemon, actually. It's a little otter-like Pokemon. It's very cute.
Cute.
You want to take a look at Bweezel there?
Cool. Almost. Definitely almost that word, Caldwell. Continue.
If only I had the Ring of the Grimmarian.
Long have I been blessed by Dice Christ with a disproportionate number of natural ones and 20s.
Okay.
Oh, I feel you. That's great. That's a great blessing to have.
Great blessing. I adore crit failures too, because they offer me the opportunity to narrate my failures in often hilarious ways. It is this desire that led me down the path of darkness. In my campaign, my character made a roll to impress what I thought was a throwaway NPC. I rolled a 9, but in my desire to create a moment, I called out Nat 20. This NPC is now a beloved traveling companion, and we have a special story arc developing.
Whoa.
However, I do not deserve this. I betrayed Dice Christ, my DM, and myself. Every time I see this character, there's a part of me that is reminded that this character's arc is a lie.
Wow. Oh my God. I think you need to lean into this. You need to decide something. You need to like decide something about your story that now was a lie so that you come clean to this character.
What is worse is that Dice Christ refuses to punish me, blessing me with the same luck I always have.
Wow.
Though I do not have room to ask, I throw myself at your mercy and request that you punish me. Though Dice Christ forgives, I cannot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very repentant. Really,
this player is already suffering. Mm. Yeah. You've already suffered.
I think you should literally make up a lie.
Yeah.
Like make up a something that you did wrong and
so
have to
confess to this NPC.
Totally. Yeah.
And maybe ultimately it will bring you guys closer together, but you also might lose them.
I think you got to confess this to your DM and get them in on it too.
Yeah.
I need to work this in. This whole friendship is based on a lie. I'm not Prince Ali Ababwa. I'm actually a street rat.
I think it's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of fun.
Although we have said in the past that real world stuff, sometimes you do want to just keep it to yourself that you lied about it that one time.
But I think if I were a DM and someone came to me and was like, I lied about this one role and I have been grappling with the guilt of it and I want to make this right in the game, I would fundamentally trust them and assume that this was the only time
they
did it.
You story juice.
Yeah. And then you're kind of
DMs crave the story juice.
Yeah. And if and maybe they don't want to do that, in which case they'll be like, nah, but I forgive you.
Yeah.
But maybe they'll be like, okay, yeah, let's
if
come
a player
up with
came up to you and they were like, so I lied about a role 3 months ago, wouldn't you just be like, no, I don't want to deal with this.
Really?
I really don't want to deal with this.
I think I would be like, this is interesting. Let's do it.
But
let's
it might shatter things a little bit because you'd be like, what else? What other roles did you lie
but
about?
That's what you have to make it clear. Like, this is the only time I did it and it's been haunting me. I don't know why I did it. It was the stupidest thing. I swear I've never done it any other time. I'm never going to do it again.
All right.
I've been carrying this shame.
All right. I think you've got two options here.
You know what you can tell them? You can say, hey, I've been listening to this thing called D&D Core, and I'm always hearing about people lying about roles, and I just wanted to try it out.
I think you're probably going to need to grovel to your DM a little bit.
Yeah. Right? Say we influenced you.
You are going to need to have real tears, and it's going to need to be like in a public place, and everyone's going to need to be like looking over like what's going on, because you're going to just be like losing it. You're going to be uncontrollably weak.
Okay, so in a Dark Souls.
You guys were really passive. You guys, in the main feed episode, you guys were really passive. I'm going to be the really passive judge in this one and say that I think you've been punished enough by living with this guilt of the NPC.
You need to go to the smoothie bar in the Dark Souls. It's actually really nice.
You were trying to make a little goof. Mm. This has since really blown up. Mm. And I think you've been carrying this burden for a long time. And that in itself is a punishment. Mm-hmm. You can let yourself go.
Next time you crit, just lie and say it was a 9 and see what happens.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's true.
Change a crit to a 9.
Whoa. That's going to feel bad, though. I don't know that.
But it'll feel bad in a way that it's penance.
Yeah. Okay. And that could be a big punishment because if someone sees you do that, they're going to be like, what are you doing?
I think you need to whisper to the dice that, hey, I'm doing this because of this. Please don't I'm getting into lying. I'm doing this for penance.
Mm. After you do this, you have to melt whatever dice you did it with.
Yeah, you do.
And they have a high melting point.
Yeah, I would suggest, change an at 20 to a 9 and then melt that dice.
Yeah.
Get rid of that dice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Great. Or you can just pickle them. Or you can just tell the DM the truth. But, you know, that's pretty scary.
Yeah.
I'm just going to r/dice, melting point of Chessex dice, 275 degrees.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Okay. To be very safe.
Be so safe about it.
Well, don't worry. There's an open forge in the Dark Souls.
Take it to the Dark Souls.
Take it to the Dark Souls. Yeah.
We can take that dice off your hands. Don't worry. We need it to fuel the furnace in the gym.
Yeah. It's a hungry furnace that demands a lot.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you all so much. So forgiven. Thank you all so much for listening. Be back next week with the campaign episode. And a short rest in the meantime. Caldwell, why don't you take us out?
Oh, everybody get ready to say that you were punked. I'm Caldwell Tanner.
I'm Jake Hurwitz.
And I just got punked.